I should like you to call me Mark. The story I wish to tell all but demands it. I have no difficulty pinpointing its beginning. It came shortly after I moved into my new home. And so, the days leading up to my first encounter with Alistair are where I shall begin. I left the house for a routine visit to the gym, a short walk, and returned straight afterwards. No detours, so, all told, probably no more than an hour and a half. Three steps led up to the Georgian entrance, its racing green, six-panelled door framed by fluted pilasters and crowned with a sunburst-etched fanlight. Inside, a narrow hallway stretched ahead, lit by the soft echo of daylight from the rear. On the rainiest days, I sometimes took this more involved route, up the front steps, unlocking the main door, through the hallway, then down a short flight of internal steps to the rear door, which also required unlocking and, once passed through, shutting properly. But today, as on most days, I chose the simpler route, the unsheltered end-of-terrace side access. It led me directly to the communal garden, calm, lightly overgrown, with the hushed feel of a small, half-forgotten woodland.
Buzz curled up in his bed and drifted into his usual dream. There was the squirrel, waiting to be chased along the golden beach to the land of biscuits. She was dressed as a wizard, with a traffic cone for a hat. But over there, heading away from the land of biscuits, was Smelly Cat. Chasing the squirrel had always been Buzz's favourite thing. But what if this was something even better? Buzz darted towards the squirrel, then dashed after the cat, then chased the squirrel, then followed the cat. Squirrel! Cat! Squirrel! Cat! And suddenly, down he fell. Down, down, down into a never-ending hole. Buzz woke from his nap with a jolt. He took a big sniff and breathed a sigh of relief. He was safe in his basket. There was no hole, no squirrel, and no cat.
Hi, Georgia. My apologies for the delayed response. Yesterday was an eventful day at the clinic, to say the least. I ended up delivering a baby, which I've never done before. I was administering vaccinations to my patient when his mum began having contractions. We called the midwife, but by the time she had arrived, the mum had progressed too far to be moved, and I ended up assisting with the birth. Admittedly, I was terrified, but it was also one of the more incredible experiences of my career thus far. But do you know what's strange? Throughout all of the excitement and chaos, I kept thinking, I can't wait to tell Georgia about this. It seems as if no matter what I'm doing lately, you're on my mind. Another feeble attempt for you there.
When you are confronted with historical forces that seem vastly bigger than you, like a war on your people that has lasted nearly 100 years, you have two choices. You can accept it as your fate and try to adjust to being a pinball being whacked around a table by the powerful, or you can band together with other people to become a historical force yourself, one that will eventually overwhelm the forces ranged against you. Bud chose the second way. He appealed for more and more people to join Vandu. He studied in the library to find out what the official definition of a public health emergency is in Canada, and discovered that Vancouver had never declared one. He started manoeuvring for the health board to formally do it, and under his pressure, they finally agreed. This was now, officially, the city's first emergency.
You are awake. A breeze on your skin, even though the window is closed. The curtains swell with it, drifting apart at the peak to let in a sliver of daylight. Over and over, this rhythmic movement. You lie with your eyes closed and listen to the sound of it. The rustle of fabric against the radiator as the curtains rise and fall. The wind growing and fading with each passing moment. It almost sounds like a ventilator machine. Or perhaps a desk fan oscillating back and forth. It almost sounds like someone is standing over your bed, breathing heavily.